as I said last week, this is that triumphal entry time back into Jerusalem where Palm Sunday, that Sunday that starts out Passion Week, that we look back and we think of some of the things that he went through, being betrayed, being spit upon, being stabbed, and all the things he went through for us. And so as I begin to pray this week, or last week actually, about, Lord, what is it that you want me to get? Because I can't preach anything different that you don't already know, that you haven't already heard. And one of the verses we were talking about on a Sunday night said, teach the old and the new. They need to hear the old again. They need to hear the new. Just make sure you're preaching the gospel, basically. And so I want to read a couple of those verses real quick, just a few, over again, because that's our passage for this morning. So I'm going to start at verse 39. It said, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you the Christ? Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to observe the Lord's Supper today together. Lord, right now I just want to pray that you would move among us as we look at your word, as we see what it is you have for us. Lord, help us to see where we are and where you desire us to be. I thank you and I praise you for this opportunity. May you be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. I know we're normally looking at 25 minutes till the sermon's over. Well, that's generally a lot of time for me. But this morning, as I look at this, I want to share with you what God kind of laid on my heart through this past week and a half. Because I look at these two criminals, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at these two criminals. It says one's on the right and one's on the left. And as I read through the four different Gospels, and it would always talk about these two criminals. Some would call them criminals, some would call them thieves, some would call them robbers, depending on your translation. But they were there because they deserved it. Now, crucifixion was not just something you dished out to just any normal, you know, lawbreaker. It was something serious. And these two men had obviously done something as criminals, as robbers, as thieves, pretty serious. And so, as we look at this, sometimes we go into Easter, the Easter season, and I told my wife, I said, you know, sometimes you would think that the Easter season and Christmas season would be the easiest passages to preach. Because God already gives you the passage. It's got to be about Easter, or it's got to be about Christmas, so it should be easy. But I struggled with this one this week because it's so point blank. So many times we want to jump right to the resurrection and we put out of our mind, yes, we know he went through all of that stuff that I talked about just a minute ago prior to his crucifixion and prior to him being buried. And then he rose again. And yes, if he hadn't rose again, we have nothing. We have nothing if it's not for his resurrection, where he conquered death in the grave and took our sin. And he covered death for us. But as I get to that, I get to these two criminals. And I'm thinking to myself that everybody in this room and everybody within the sound of my voice on Facebook is going to line up with one of these two guys. I don't mean it to be pointed, but I do mean it to be pointed. In the fact that as we look at these two criminals, you are going to pick one of the two out. You are either saved or you're lost. If you're saved, there are things that this guy is going to do that's going to make you, if you feel the way I felt, this man made me feel like I am so unworthy to even be in his shoes. And then if you've never accepted Christ, how you've rejected Jesus is going to line up with some of the things that this man did. And so let's look at them as we look at the first criminal. And I'm going to look at the first one by saying the first. I mean the one that hanged there and he railed at Christ. He railed at Jesus saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourselves and us." He didn't really care if Jesus was the Christ. He just said, "Hey, save yourself. And while you're at it, save me. Why don't you get down off that cross and take me with you?" He had an attitude that the other guy, obviously, that rebuked him said, "Do you not fear God?" Here he is up on this cross, and I'm sure he had to have heard while they're walking up to Golgotha, while they're walking up there, he had to have heard somebody say, "This man claims to be the Son of God." He had to have been able to read the plaque above him on the cross that said, "This is the King of the Jews." He had to have known sometime throughout this week that this man that is being crucified beside him claims to be God. And he's mocking, saying, "If you're God, get us down." It's pretty brave. Or pretty stupid, however you want to look at it. But he has no fear of God. He's told by this other man that he's being punished. "You're being crucified and you deserve it. I'm being crucified and I deserve it. You deserve the punishment you're getting. They're getting ready to nail you to a cross. Nobody comes down from a cross. It's a one-way ticket." And he's getting ready to go there, and this man says, "You deserve what you're getting." Yet he had no sorrow, no remorse, just bitterness. And at the end of this, it doesn't tell us how long they survived before they died during their crucifixion. But think about this. I don't know how far the crosses were apart, but he died that close to Jesus. And he didn't know him. Now let's look at the other criminal. We're going to call him the second one, because this is the second one that's mentioned. He knows, "I stand condemned, and I deserve it." He told the other criminal, he said, "You deserve it, and I deserve it. We are getting our just rewards." He knew that he was getting what he deserved. He knew he was dying for his sins. But he believed in who Jesus was, or else he wouldn't have told this other man that's ridiculing Jesus, "Don't you fear God? This is God's Son. Aren't you?" He knew who Jesus was. He knew who Jesus was. And he knew that Jesus did not deserve to die on that cross. Man, you and I, we deserve it. But this guy has done nothing. And so he calls out to Jesus. He says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I want to be known by Jesus. I want to be remembered by Jesus," is what he's saying. And then Jesus answered him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It became personal. Think about that. It became personal. Like I said, these two men that we just talked about, or I just explained here, are going to line up with everybody in this room. We're going to talk about the second one first. I'm going to flip this up on you just because I can, because it fits better with the sermon. But this second guy, the one that I relate to people that are saved because they have a relationship with Jesus, he knew that everyone stands condemned. Man, I knew for years that everyone stood condemned. I had heard it taught to me. I'd heard it preached to me. I had people share with me the fact that John 3:18 says everyone stands condemned already because they have not believed in the Son of God. That's where this man was at. And I was there at one point in my life. And if you've accepted Christ, you were at a point where you realized you were condemned already, even though you may not have thought you did anything. He knew that he deserved death because the wages of sin is death. He knew what he deserved. But he believed in Jesus. And those of you out there that have accepted Christ, I remember what it was like the day before I accepted Christ. That may sound strange, but I can remember what it was like the day before. Because I knew I was condemned. I knew I was going to deserve the punishment that was ahead of me. And I believed in God. I believed He died for me on the cross. And then I called out to Him. And I asked Him to forgive me of my sins. And He answered me and He said, "Steve, you're now my child." That's what that first thief went through. And that's what everybody in here that has accepted Christ, you came to that acknowledgement of understanding, yeah, we're still broken. I still sin. I still make mistakes. But because I had the understanding to call out to Jesus, He answered me and He saved me. That's the easy part of this sermon. Now we're going to go up to that first criminal. And like so many that have never accepted Christ, they want to call on Jesus only when it benefits them. Man, they may go to church, they may do all the religious stuff, but it's only to benefit them. If my relationship with Jesus Christ is just like He's some big vending machine in the sky, and I go to Him when I need something, but there is no relationship, then I have nothing. I am like that thief that was on the cross that said, really, he should have said, "Save me because you can." He was worried about self. And there are so many people that claim to be Christians that their Christianity is about themselves. Jesus, if you're God, save yourself and save me because I'm as important as you. That's what they're actually saying. This thief, the words that come out of his mouth as he mocks God, he said, if you're really Christ, save me. Because Jesus, it's about me. Those that have never accepted Christ, they have no fear of God. I've talked to people, I'm sure you've talked to people, and we try to share with them the love of Jesus. We try to share with them what Christ did for us, what he's doing for us now, and the fact that He's coming back for me someday. And I share that with them, and they have no desire. They have no fear of God. They have no awe of God. They have no respect of God. I'm not even sure He's alive. I'm not even sure He's real. Well, I'm pretty sure within a few hours after making that first statement, this guy found out he was real. And like this man, even though you've been told that you're going to pay for your sins. I don't know how many times you've came to church here in the last year and a half, but if you could count that up, I guarantee you, That's how many times you've heard that you're going to pay for your sins if you don't accept Christ. Because I'm not going to stand behind this box once and not tell you that Jesus Christ died for you because of your sins that you couldn't pay for. That may not come out exactly like that, but that's the gospel. He had been told that they're going to pay for their sins, and he did nothing about it. Can you imagine? Yeah, you can. Because for years, I was the same way. People had told me all my life that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. It did nothing. It bounced off of a hard head and a hard heart for a lot of years. But the bottom line is, I finally understood. But there are so many out there that are still doing nothing about it, though that they know, like this thief, that they're going to pay for their sins. And I know I like to take, and I turn this back to a teenager, because I was a youth pastor for 30 plus years, and I think this. Is there anybody that thinks they're more invincible than a teenager? Right? I mean, you wait a few years and your knees start falling apart and your hearing goes and your eyes go and your teeth fall out and you realize life is taking you down. It doesn't have to be somebody else. It doesn't have to be a car wreck. It doesn't have to be anything like that. It basically is just life taking you down. But as a teenager, they're always invincible. I believe there are a lot of people out there that are like a teenager spiritually. I'm invincible. I don't need to accept Christ. I'm not going to die for years. My great-great-great-great-grandpa, whatever, whoever, lived to be 120 years old. So I got all the time I'm ever going to need. Well, this book tells me that one of these days that eastern sky is going to split open and he's coming back for me. And I don't care how invincible you think you are, you're going to bow before him, either as the Lord of your life or the judge of your life. And if that's your case, if things don't change, you'll be like this thief, the saddest part of this thief. When he left life, he was so close to knowing salvation. And he died without it. Well, if you're like that thief, it's not too late. You still have time to accept Christ as your personal Savior. It's not hard. It's really plain. It's really simple. Jesus Christ, who he was, God's Son, what he did, he died on the cross for you. He rose again. What he's going to do, he's coming back to receive his own. Those things are really simple. That's who he was, what he did, what he's going to do. Understand what you are, a sinner. What you have to do, admit your sin, confess to him and ask for forgiveness. And allow him to be the Lord of your life is what you will do. That is so simple. And people die so close to knowing that. Maybe some people even know that. They've heard that. They've had that preached to them by mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, Sunday school teachers, best friends, whoever. They've heard it forever. And it's so close. But they're left hanging on that cross. And I could leave it right there. But then I got to thinking, you know, those of you that are Christians, me, you that have accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Like I said, if you look at this man, criminal number two, what's he doing? He's got hours left in his life. Just hours left in his life. And he's using every minute to try to tell people about God. And God is there. He is an amazing, awesome God, and we need to have a fear and a respect for him. And he's about to die, and he's talking to this. He's concerned about this man that's lost when he is about to die himself. And at this point, he hadn't even called out to Jesus. But when he called out to Jesus, he has that heart that's concerned about the lost. He's letting people know, you are going to pay for your sins. How long has it been since we as Christians have talked to somebody about you need to have a reverence and a fear of God? Well, that really doesn't come up in my normal conversation. Change your normal conversation. What about the next statement he says? You and I are going to die justly for our sins. You're going to die for your sins. You're going to pay for your sins. That's not a real good opener when you sit down by somebody at a ball game and say, by the way, do you know you're going to die for your sins? Oh, I got to go to the concession stand. They're gone. The only place you can do that is probably on an airplane because they can't go anywhere. But how long has it been since we're not concerned about ourselves? He's going to die. He knows he's going to die on the cross. And he's concerned about the lost. I'm not going to die on a cross that I know of. He's got hours. I don't know how. I've got hours, months, years. I don't know. He's using every second of his life at this point to try to tell people about the fear of God and about the penalty for sins. Why don't we do that? And then, when he calls out to Jesus, think about this. Here's this other thief, maybe his partner in crime, we don't know. And here's all these Roman soldiers around the cross and these religious leaders and all these people that are watching as they were led up to Golgotha and he's on this cross and he doesn't care who's listening. I'm calling out to Jesus. How many times have we hesitated talking about Jesus out loud, talking to Jesus out loud, praying out loud, praying in a cafeteria or a coffee shop or a restaurant because people are going to watch me and I'll just stand here and pray with my eyes open. And you can do that. But why do you do that? I used to do that because I didn't want to make people feel uncomfortable because I'm praying and they're not. So I'll just stare at my food and pray in my mind. You know, I've been in a lot of restaurants and I've seen a lot of people stare at their food. In a lot of cafeterias when I stared at my food and it had nothing to do with praying. But the bottom line is we don't speak out because of who's watching. This man didn't care who was watching. He knew every second with Jesus mattered. And until we get that mindset of this thief, those other people that line up with criminal one are going to stay that way. Because there's no difference between you and me. Until I get that mindset that I want to make sure everybody I meet knows about and should have a respect and a fear of God. Because He is all powerful. He is all sovereign. And until I care enough to tell them that they're going to die for their sins. Word it however you want, but that's the plain as it gets. That's what the book says. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Call out to Him. Don't worry about what other people are thinking. Don't worry about what other people are saying or going to say. Use every second you've got because you don't know how many seconds you've got. Picture yourself on that cross. One of the two. If you're lost, you're lost dying that close to Jesus. If you're saved, then use every second you've got. to glorify and honor your God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for all that you do. I thank you for your word. I thank you for its clarity. Lord, I thank you for speaking to me on what I need to do. Lord, watch over us. Help us to glorify and honor you. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for loving me. In your name I pray. Amen.